until I get home. I'm hungry now. Feed me now.
I never see your hair like this. It's very odd. It looks very flat.
I know. Yeah. It's because when I washed it, I like tightened it and slicked it back. Oh, so yeah,
okay.
It's a little.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me zhuzh it up for you.
Because normally it's not. Okay. That's better. So much better. Oh, not better. Yeah, so much different.
It like, just looked like I was like a giant head with like flat hair.
I didn't see that. I'm just saying when you have straight. The couple times that you straighten your hair, I'm like, oh, like you look like a new person to me every time.
I thought your hair was like damp or wet or something because it was so flat. But
it stays like flat and wavy. If I just like if I put it in a bun like straight after I shower and I just let it dry that way, it'll just like stick to my head. Which is fine. And then I wore like a hat yesterday, so it like flattened it out even more.
She wears hats now. She's cool.
Well, I tried to, and then it got windy, and I just got a big head, and the hat was a little small. So I wore it for as long as I could, and then I just threw it in my bag.
I wish my head was like shaped for hats, but no matter what hat I wear, it just doesn't either look good on me or they're not for me.
Somehow. I just need a bigger size hat. I need like an XXL hat. Cause like I checked it has the circumference of the whatever of the hat, and I was like, well, I'm not this size. I need at least an extra 2 inches.
What kind of hat was it?
Where'd it go?
Was it a bucket hat?
It's over there. No, it's like a kind of like a wide brim hat, but it's like round.
A floppy hat, like in the beach.
Kind of, but a little bit smaller.
Oh, like a bowler. Is it a bowler hat? Is that what they're called? I saw the picture you posted.
Yeah, but just like a little bit bigger, like not that small, because I would look like a peanut,
right?
Like a peanut. Round,
if like I was just like
of a bowler hat,
flat. Which okay, I guess next time I'll like put some mousse or something else in my hair so you don't have to suffer through this.
I'm not suffering. Yeah, we're suffering. I should have said anything, and I thought about it because I knew you were gonna be like, but
I got problems, so it's fine.
Don't
it's
we?
It's not
all?
Your fault. It's my problems.
Oh my god, I know.
My brain's problems.
We all have problems.
We all got problems, Effie. What'd she say?
Effie, we all got problems.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, welcome everyone. Hey friends. You're listening to We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
And I'm Anna.
And we have transported to the year 2010. The Winter Olympics in Vancouver just finished, and it's the 82nd Annual Academy Awards. You got it right. It's our Oscar Rewind series. And we are discussing the 2010 Best Picture nominees. The movie up for discussion today is Inglourious Basterds. Inglourious Basterds is in Nazi-occupied France during World War II. A plan to assassinate Nazi leaders by a group of Jewish U.S. soldiers coincides with a theater owner's vengeful plans for the same. Along with Best Picture, it was nominated for Best Director, Quentin Tarantino, Best Original Screenplay, Quentin Tarantino, Best Sound Editing, Wiley Statement, Best Sound Mixing, Michael Meikler, Tony Lombardi, and Mark Ulano. Best Cinematography, Robert Richardson. Best Film Editing, Sally Minky. And it won for Best Supporting Actor, Christoph Waltz. With 8 nominations total and 1 win, this is Inglourious Basterds. So, friends, what did we think?
Wow. It's been a while since I've seen this movie, and I don't think I've ever watched it, like, all the way through paying close attention like I did this time. At least that I can remember. I know I've seen bits and pieces a lot before mm-hmm. I had seen the whole movie.
Okay.
But I don't think when I watched the whole movie the first time that I was, like, paying attention.
Mm.
And so I, like, paid attention this time around. And fuck Quentin Tarantino, but this is a damn good movie.
Joy?
You know, I think this movie, after having seen Django, and then seeing this movie... I don't count, what is the Hollywood one? I don't count that one.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That one. But these two, I'm like, oh, I see what people mean when they're like, oh, I really love Quentin Tarantino. I'm like, oh, I get it. It clicked for me now. I love a good revenge story. Spoiler to the end. I'm so sad she doesn't make it out, but I'm so glad she got her revenge. Even if this is not historically accurate, I'll go with this.
To me it is.
It should have been. I still felt like it could have been. I understand the purpose of the really long scenes, but I also don't think they needed to be that long. I feel like I got the point, like, halfway or three quarters of the way through some of the conversations, some of the long scenes, like the first scene in the beginning where you first meet Hans, and then the bar scene. I see the point because it did build the tension, but I also am like okay we get it, you made your point, can we just move on? Because like the action pieces are really, really good, but it stayed in that a little bit too long.
Yeah, jumping off of what you said about it being too long, I think much like a lot of these auteur directors, they don't know how to edit their own work sometimes. And I feel like you're right. You know, the audience isn't dumb. We know what's happening. Most everyone knows, you know, who the Nazis are and what they do and what their purpose is. So, you know, having the long scenes of tension feels a little bit much. Mm. And although I will say I did think this movie is very good. And this is my first Quentin Tarantino movie when I saw it originally back in 2010 or whatever. So I was like, wow, this was so good. I think had it been just more sharply written, it would have been like a 10 out of 10 for me, because I'm thinking of the way to display suspense would have been better conveyed if, like, I'm thinking of the bar scene. So, like, we learn that story about that soldier who just became a dad. And then it's later repeated again whenever Diane Kruger is, like, on the table and she's like, what happened? And so we're told again what happened. It just feels, like, repetitive. And I think it had been a tighter script. I don't know where you would have cut it exactly, but there's little parts like that that I was like, that didn't need to be here. That could have been – another thing that would have been a good edit was when they fast forward to Shoshana, like, putting the marquee on the theater. And it says, like, 4 years later, after Shoshana, I forgot the actual whatever the thing said. And I think it would have been a better narrative thing to not tell us who she was at first, because she's not recognizable right away until she goes to dinner.
Yeah.
And you see Hans there when she's with everybody at the table, because that I forgot her name. The actress did a fantastic job. Like,
Melanie Laurent.
Yes. Oh my god. Like, it was a really smart choice to have the camera on her face and just see his, like, up his, like, his torso. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good. Like,
and then him ordering the milk.
I was like, oh my god, he knows.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he knows.
And the pork product as, like, he a knows. Test.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, that could have been, it was a good scene, but it could have been so much better had we not known who she was, really, until that scene.
Yeah.
Things like that. So it was a good movie. Solid 4 stars, but it could have been better.
I agree. I think shaving off a good, like, 15 to 20 minutes would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think this is one of his most, that I've seen. I have not seen a lot of Tarantino, but I think out of the few I've seen, this is his tightest script. But I will disagree with you, Joy. I feel like chapter one, that opening scene is perfection. I feel like the cinematography is beautiful. We get the beautiful shots of the countryside. And then you're meeting this, like, charismatic, evil person. Mm-hmm. And just the tension that builds. And the choice of milk is psychotic.
Ew, and yeah.
I felt like that scene was just chef's kiss. Like, out of every... A lot of people talk about the bar scene being their favorite, but I think that opening scene is my favorite of the film. I thought it set it up very nicely for what we're getting. I thought it was... It had, like, humor in it, but it was still very, like, fucked up.
Yeah.
You got the hint of gore. Like, this is a Tarantino movie. We're gonna see blood. I don't know. I really love that opening scene. I loved the like Latin like Moonlight Sonata music. The music in this movie first is top notch. I love the score, but that Moonlight Sonata remix had me dying.
So, I'm sorry, Anna. Go ahead.
And then I also loved the size queen moment with the pipes. He's like, oh, can I smoke my pipe too? And he pulls out this fucking huge, like, look at me, I'm better than you, bitch. I just thought it was a great opening scene.
So the actual piece is called Fia Elisa by Beethoven. And so the score itself doesn't have an original score to the movie. Quentin Tarantino, this part of the movie got me so excited. I was like so hype. I have to like calm down. So I absolutely love the beginning of that song by Ennio Morricone. It's titled The Verdict. And it's originally from the Big Gun Down from 1967. So Ennio and Quentin Tarantino have worked together before. And this particular movie, he's taken scores from other spaghetti westerns and put it in this movie. So that one in particular, the beginning piano of Fior Elisa by Beethoven is like having it being played for tension is fantastic. Mm. Like normally that song is very like upbeat, like and like jovial and really pretty. But this, the way it's played, the way it's the sample, if you will, if we're talking about rap terms, the sample of the piano, fantastic. Like I don't remember this when I first watched it. I guess maybe I wasn't paying attention. I don't know what it was. But I literally sat up and went, I pointed the screen like Leo does in the other one. Like, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
like,
same.
Fior Elisa is, like, one of my faves. Beethoven's, like, oh, my God, I'm so nerdy right now. Beethoven's, like, biggest hit, basically. His biggest slam. His biggest bop, if you will. And to have it cut into, like, spaghetti western, like, like, the way I died. Like, I can't even... My music nerd was, like, off the charts. I can't even. I'm just dead. I just did.
Yeah, I was definitely sitting straight up. I was like, I love this. What is this?
I paid attention. I said, okay. This movie's for me. I hear you. I'm awake. Let's go. I cannot. Okay, I'm sorry. Speaking of that first thing, I agree with you, Anna. I agree. That scene, to me, I haven't actually heard that the bar scene is everyone's favorite. Then again, I haven't really paid attention. I've heard things about that first scene. How does a really good job of establishing the feel of the movie, the tension of the movie. And right off the bat, Christoph Waltz is acting.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting, like, he's so charismatic. And it's so terrifying. It's so good. Like, I there are not enough words to describe what that scene is to me. Like, it's just good. It's just good. That's why I agree. Yeah, that scene to me is probably my favorite.
One of my notes is Christoph Waltz is so goddamn charming. And then I was like, wait, this sounds familiar. And in this same notebook is my Django Unchained notes. So I went back and go, oh, Christoph Waltz is so fucking charming.
Question. Which one had you seen before or first?
I think I had seen Django first with you in theaters.
Oh, okay. I think, and we talk about this in that episode, I was less impressed with him in that movie because I had seen this first.
Right.
And so I was like, it's the same thing. Like, okay. Like, it was good, but like, you're stretching it a little thin to me, Christoph Waltz. So him winning was like, yeah, I agree. Makes all the sense.
If I had seen this first, it was bits and pieces, not the whole thing. But definitely, I think Django was my first in theater all the way through, paid attention.
And he's also good in that too, to be fair. He is good.
Yeah, excellent.
He is good in that, but I just feel like there was definitely more to do here. And he was already established as this kind of, I don't know, I think there was too much, like the Venn diagram of the two like acting choices and the characters is so similar that, yeah, having seen that second, you would think like, oh, so copy paste. Which actually, this is the first time I've ever seen this movie because I've never seen it at all in any capacity. Maybe like a clip here or there. No, but I don't think so. I don't remember. I was watching it and I was like, I don't know anything about this movie. I haven't seen anything. I think I've seen like GIFs of Shoshana getting her, planning her revenge. But that's basically it. I hadn't really seen anything else. I knew Christoph Waltz was a psycho. That's pretty much it. But it was, I do see like big picture. I'm like, I see how he puts things together and they kind of make sense. And now that I've seen more than one of his films, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm seeing like the pattern now. I think it just took me a couple of his movies to like warm up to what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, oh, I get it. And also, like, the action in this is pretty good too. Like, the only thing I was like, I'm not a super like gory person, so the scalp removals, I was like, oh god, this is awful.
Do we know why they did that? Did I miss that part?
He called himself Aldo the, or he was like the Apache or whatever is what they called him, his nickname. And so I think he was like the natives in America used to scalp the white people. That was their thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. I missed that completely.
Yeah.
To be fair, Brad Pitt started talking. I was like,
Brad Pitt and his horrendous accent.
I was like, okay, I guess, whatever.
I did love that part, that scene where like the whole thing is that they have shit accents and like they, yeah, they're blowing their cover essentially by just speaking at all. And I love that he keeps going back. Can you repeat that? How do you pronounce that? Slower. Do it again. Let me hear
also,
it again.
I was like Christoph Waltz switching from like German to Italian to
French.
French. I was like, oh my god, like I couldn't even like whiplash. It was amazing.
Yeah.
The only one he didn't know was Italian. He just learned his Italian for the film, but everything else I think he's fluent in.
Amazing.
But see, my favorite
Europeans know like 30 languages. Us Americans know barely one.
Every time Eli Roth was trying to say something, he would do the Italian little hand gesture. I was dying. But back to the scalping scene, I loved the little camera switch to every time like Brad Pitt said something, then he translated, and then the German said something.
Yes.
I loved that camera work. I thought that was very fun.
That was very smart. I like
that. Yeah, it's a good
one. And the German translator's voice was... I was like, yes, keep talking.
I do love it because it's a good way... I feel like that was one of the tools that maybe he could have used even more to kind of like break up the monotony of the scenes. Not that the scenes were boring, but just to like... give it a little bit more rhythm. I like it when he used it there. I wish maybe he had done it like one or two more times rather than just there. I think that would have been given a little bit of extra oomph to the film.
Yeah, there was like a lot of interesting camera shots, like going back to the first scene. It's just a pan all the way around of the table while they're talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I like that it wasn't too much either. You know, there was like each scene kind of, or each chapter kind of had a style, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
I thought was really smart.
Yeah, I think he knows, obviously, his technical ability is really strong. And you can tell that he surrounds himself with people that are technically really good at their craft. I just wish he could have, because he's so stylistic and he has such a distinct point of view, I wish he would have just pushed the boundary a little bit more and used a little bit more of the style within the techniques. Like whether it's within the writing to add in those bits of comedy that worked, with the camera work, adding the bit of levity within the format. I think there's a couple of it could have had a little bit of extra something. It was already doing a lot, but I feel like with someone who does so much like him, he could have bumped it up a little more.
I can see that. So if you guys know my dog, and you know how he loves to play with the ball, and you know how he loves to have me kick the ball across the apartment, and he goes and he chases it and he kicks it back and we play soccer and it's adorable. But if he had his way, we'd do that 24/7 all day, every day. And so during this movie, we were playing for a little bit. But as soon as we got to the vet scene where she's on the table and all those dogs and cats are going crazy, he stopped and stared straight at the camera, straight at the TV, and watched that entire scene.
What?
I was like, what are those dogs saying to you, Rocket? What is happening? I tried to get I got an okay picture, but I tried to get a cute one of him, like, just glued to the TV.
That is so funny.
It was very funny.
Speaking of
his first scene, Tarantino.
There'll be more. I really love Diane Kruger. I think she's a really great actress, and I love when she pops up in things. And I thought she was really great in this too. It's such a like heavy, such a loaded ensemble. The one that threw me off though was what's his name? Mike Myers.
I knew you were gonna say that. I knew it. I wonder how Joy feels about this. I don't know why I thought that.
That
but I
one,
just knew.
I was like into the movie. And then he popped up and I was like, is that? No. Like the cameo, it was a little too cameo. It was a little too like, okay, now I'm like, I was in it. I was in the story. I'm full on for revenge. Let's go. Let's have fun with it. And then I'm like, okay, we went too far. We had too much fun. Too much fun. And then also because like,
Keep going.
I don't know if it was just me, but his makeup and hair was just a little bit distracting because I was like, everybody else's looks so natural and so purposeful. And his is kind of like, you know, when he does like funny movies and he gets in like wigs and costumes and shit. I was a little like, I don't know that this works for me, but I see your point, I think.
I did love Michael Fassbender's like very posh, over the top accent.
Yeah.
But I also loved that he was the guy whose German wasn't good enough to pass as a German, and he is German.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like he speaks fluent German.
He is German, right? Like actual German.
I believe the story, I read it in the trivia. He was born in Germany to a German father and then grew up in England with an Irish mother or something like that.
It's kind of a little bit of everything, I guess.
But yeah, he I think he is fluent in German. But yeah, so I thought that was funny.
So remember how I said with an education, how the line where Jenny talks about how all those songs and all those poems about the thing that lasts, you know, a couple minutes at all, that for whatever reason, that line is stuck with me. Also the fact that Germans count, you know, or say three like this as opposed to our three. That also stuck with me from this movie. So I think it's funny that those two movies have something that I have never left my brain.
I also do my three like this, but that's from American Sign Language. I believe they do. This is their three. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's what I remember from class.
I never took it. I don't know. But
been a while.
Yeah, but I always remember. I remember that better than that because I was like, it stuck with me forever.
I also wish we would have gotten, I mean, we know that he knew it was Shoshana with the milk and the pork and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish there would have, like, at the premiere, there would have been a little bit more of a knowing nod that he knew who she was.
Do you think he would have cared?
Well, because when she's running away, doesn't he, I don't know. And I think also this could be from my memory of this movie, of, you know, watching it from clips.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, Christoph Waltz, the entire film was going after Shoshana. And I don't know why I thought that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why he thought, oh, she's the one that got away, I've got to get her. So when I was watching it this time around, I was like, oh, that's not what this is at all.
No, that's why I think, like, I mean, I don't believe he actually ever really saw her face. Because even when she's running, she's very, she's got all dirt on her.
Yeah.
Her hair is essentially brown. So he may have, like, an inkling, or maybe he's just, like, naturally creepy when it comes to the dinner, ordering milk and all that. But I think, like, she was just, like, a job to him. Like, he wasn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think that's my own bias coming into it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But Creepo Tarantino got his foot shot with Diane Kruger.
Bitch, I'm so over. That's just the one thing. I'm like, okay, I get you want to put your signature on things. But, like, really? Really, bitch? Like,
could your signature be less creepy, please?
Yeah, seriously. In a movie filled with creeps, can we make it, can we dial it down just like a tad? Like, I get it. You're edgy. You're over the top. Ooh.
Not that I'm defending cool. it at all, because it is gross. But I think it's an interesting way, like, the whole Cinderella angle of, like, oh, you're her.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't like, promote it or anything, but I thought, like, oh, okay, so it kind of makes sense for the story. It felt a little
justified.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little. Just a little.
But because it's him, it took me out of the moment of being like, this is a cool idea. Like, this is fucking gross.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought about it had I not known who he is. But narratively, it does. It's an interesting way, especially the way that she, like, is feeling through his coat or whatever.
His and
she
pulls it out.
And you can see in her face,
her eye.
This is it. Like, and then he pops it just on the back of her foot. Like, oh, man. But I, after that, when he, like, lounges, when he, like, lunges towards her, I was like, I can't watch this. I can't look. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Tarantino's movies particularly, because I'm not, like, a huge, like, violence person when I watch movies. I don't want to see that. That's just not me. That's not my thing. And that's really all he is a lot of the times. So with this, I just was like, I'm not going to look. I know what's happening.
I only want to see it if it's Dev Patel doing it with his teeth against into someone's neck.
Oh, my God.
That shit was wild.
Because that was hot.
I don't think I watched
that. Okay, Anna, if you think that was hot, I really need you to watch the new Interview with the Vampire reboot. Because
I watched the first two.
Wait, I have a question.
The two episodes?
Maybe this is
the first two episodes, yeah.
But is that
like, scene in the church?
The question. So, because I don't care. So, is that the like the appeal of vampires in general? Like the whole like biting and all of that. Is that why?
It's the immortality. It's the tortured. I live forever, and I see the world passing me by, and it's very. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's very gothic.
Listeners, if you could just see Crystal's face, she's like gagging now.
I've never understood the appeal of like vampires as like, ooh, sexy, whatever. Like, I don't get that.
But then
when you said that just now about Dev Patel, I was like, maybe that's the correlation. I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole like pleasure pain angle or whatever.
In a lot of the like what has been dubbed romanticy, like the romance fantasy books. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is like an Anne Rice thing. I doubt it is. But whenever they bite into each other, it like is an aphrodisiac. It's a sexual thing. And so like when they're feeding off of someone, there's a bunch of like sexy hormones happening, and then they ended up fucking, and it's like hot and it's cool and it's really sexy.
I mean, y'all do you, whatever. Y'all, whatever works for you, works for you. I just don't get it, but whatever.
The show, Jacob Anderson and I forgot.
Grey Worm.
Lestat's name. No, Jacob Anderson is, yeah, Grey Worm, but Lestat's name, I forget all the time. It is very much Lestat, yeah.
Sam Reed.
I knew it was Reed something. It is actually like, besides being, oh yeah, it's hot, vampires, whatever. It actually is a really good narrative and a really good show. And I love their interpretation of it because He's from New Orleans, and he's a Creole man. So the implications of that with him being gay, with him being a vampire, all those, it's just so layered. It's mm-hmm. so delicious. Like, most it's so good. And like,
vampires. I see.
Yeah, gay vampires of color. Like, okay, we made it interesting. Yeah. Wow,
so many, like,
boxes so many layers
right now. Wow.
I know. And then, like, people who like have completely like uncontrolled and like raging emotions, like they're so extreme. Like Lestat is the most extreme like flaunty bitch I've ever met in my life, but I kind of love him for that. he's so intense. He's a lot, but I really enjoy watching him on TV.
First of all, how do you even get AMC? Like, that's like a whole nother app, right?
I got it through Prime. I got a trial for it so I could watch the whole thing, and I forgot to cancel it, so now I just have it.
That happened to me, I think it was through Hulu with AMC.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might have been Prime. Because I got it to watch one series, and then when it ended, I was like, oh, I've been paying for this for like 4 months. Cancel.
Yeah,
I mean, I used to watch AMC months. When I watched Walking Dead, but that's when I had like cable. Like YouTube TV.
Yeah.
And because I got rid of it, I was like, how do I even access this channel? So I don't even know.
Right.
Yeah, I need AMC to make a deal like FX did with something. Hulu.
Yeah.
Because they're not enough to buy, like, to pay for their own streaming service, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, there's only like one or two shows maybe on there that people want to watch. But anyways, yeah, it's very, very good, very tortured soul, very pain and love and all the things boxed up into
one. That definitely seems like something you would watch, Joy. Like,
all so, the... So, bitch, you have no idea how obsessed I am with that right now.
Especially because like, it starts in 1910, so it's like period piece.
Yes. So how like, many boxes
if you were still on Tumblr, this would be going off. Or unless you already.
I mean, I see sometimes on there. But it's a lot on Twitter. I follow a bunch of people on Twitter with this stuff.
My Twitter has been filled with Interview with a Vampire this past week.
Yeah.
I guess it was a good episode.
It was.
Although my favorite was like, I understand why people don't watch this live because it showed at the end of the clip. She was like, I'm bawling my eyes out. And then it cuts to a Burger King commercial.
That's
oh my god. What? Yeah, can you imagine? Like, can you imagine watching, like, Game of Thrones, like, live, like, if it was on cable, and you'd be watching, like, The Red Wedding, and all of a sudden, Burger King, you know?
Be
humbling.
Have it your way.
While you're crying.
You rule.
I rule.
That's so funny. Why do I want a burger right now? I'm so upset.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, did you see any of the Westeros stuff in New York today?
What? What did I miss?
Apparently they hung like banners or something from one of the bridges.
Bitch, I was not paying attention on my way home. I was like reading on my phone. I wasn't looking at the bridge outside. I'm sad I missed it. That sounds cool. I was so pissed. Yes, but not really. Well, when I went for Tony's graduation, literally my flight left at 11 and the Bridgerton thing with like the cast started at 11 on that same day. And I was like, no, because I got the notification too to get like free access to it. So I could have gone, but I was on a plane.
Oh, brother graduating.
Fucking family. Speaking of, how was Enemy of the People? I know we're way off topic right now.
No. It was Uncle Vanya.
Uncle Vanya, that's what I meant.
I do want to see Enemy of the People, but it's closing soon, and the tickets got super expensive. So it was either Enemy of the People or Uncle Vanya, and the Uncle Vanya ones were cheaper. So yeah. I did that one. Oh, my God. The venue at Lincoln Center.
The Vivian Beaumont.
Yes. So good.
Love that
and
theater.
Honestly, I was literally in the furthest back row at the very top, and I still felt like I was so close to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, like, It's a great, like, semicircle and the mm-hmm. tiers of it. Like, you just get a perfect view from all angles. William Jackson Harper, I love him. He's so great. Your Theo, Alfred Molina, fucking, I can't believe I was, oh my God, that shit is wild. That shit is fucking wild. And Tiana Anika Noni Rose is so beautiful. And the whole point of her in this play was that she was so beautiful and so sad. And I was like, yes, thank you. I feel that.
You said Tiana, but all I hear is the best friend from Justin and Kelly. Okay.
Yes!
Oh my her God. Best work, maybe? I don't know.
Her best, she peaked. She peaked so early.
That's her best work, but.
Yeah. Better than Dreamgirls, better than Tiana, better than anything else. It was that.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that shit was good.
Yeah, that's where we saw War Horse, and we were sitting on the Ooh. Aisle, and a horse literally ran down the aisle right next to us and, like, did a big, like, neigh, and it, like, jumped. It was so fucking cool.
That's fucking wild. My God. Well, also I mean, they... My Fair it did, Lady there. It did rain on the stage, which was cool. I was like, oh my God, look at this practical effect.
I love that.
It's great. Super great, super worth it. My knees was fucking swollen because I had to go up the stairs 100 million times. Worth it though. Anyways, back to the movie.
Back to this movie.
Thank you. That commercial was sponsored by Interview with a Vampire and Uncle Vanya at Lincoln Center and AMC.
Get your tickets now.
Hurry, they're selling
that
out.
That was free press for you, Uncle Vanya. I just want you to know that, okay?
Yeah, free. Honestly.
$3.99, all right?
Anyways. This, the shot of Shoshana in the red dress at the window.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Sounds like, incredible.
The reflection
amazing.
of the advertisement on the wall across from her.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
So good. The other, I think my favorite shot, and it was such a good, my favorite bit of that opening scene is when she's running away, and she's framed by the doorway, and it's just her in the center. Perfect. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely beautiful. Perfect. Amazing.
I love there, in that same scene, there's a shot of them between the cracks of the floorboard, and their bright
yes.
eyes shining.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that shit was so intense for real though. Like,
if that would have been me, I would have been like turned around, like on my stomach,
same,
covering my eyes.
Same, I would not be looking up.
Get it, like shot wise, very cool. Reality wise, I'd be
also
huddled,
like,
into a corner.
They're very scared, and like they didn't know what was gonna happen. And then another part of it that was good reveal was that he's like, "Oh, they don't speak English, right?" So then, and said anything we just said. That reveal was really good because then you're like, yeah. "Oh crap, they're just like scared. They don't know what's gonna happen." And yeah. I like that the camera stayed at Christoph's feet when he's like, "Oh, girls, come back in." When it's actually his men coming in, diabolical. But the way that was shot was really good. As soon as they started firing, I was like, "I'm not looking. I don't need to see. I know what's gonna happen."
Yeah.
So any shots that were good during those type of moments, I didn't see them. Sorry.
I mean, fair. It was there's parts of the movie that did get really, really intensely violent. But you know what? I think Christoph Waltz, amazing, incredible, wonderful. But the actor who was acting opposite of him.
Yes.
Did such a phenomenal job because the progression through the scene of his emotions, of the tension, of like, his like breakdown was
beautiful.
Just so well acted. And especially because he said so little, it was all in the face. There wasn't a whole lot, like Christoph Waltz was doing all the heavy lifting with the script, but he was just his face.
Yeah, just but it face. Wasn't heavy lifting, but at the same time, not overshadowing him. He let him be quiet.
Right.
The back and forth of them was so good. And I don't know if that was like maybe a direction note or like how they decided to approach it actor-wise.
Yeah.
But the give and take of those two was perfect.
Yeah.
His name is Denis Ménochet.
Good job, Denis.
And like really great. Like it was one of the great standout moments, I think, of the film.
Yeah, I agree. Because you can see in his face, like when he tells me, he's like, "You'll be rewarded sometimes if you help me with my job or whatever." When he tells him that. And you can see in his face, like, should I say something? should I not? But I have a family I have to protect. But I don't want to be terrible. So, like, you can see all these decisions being made in his eyes. And that I love when actors, like, face act. Yeah. It's probably, I think I've said this before, it's, like, one of my favorite things. Like, having dialogue is really good and being able to perform is really good. But there's something about your reaction to the words. Ugh. Good. So good.
Yeah.
And then my last shot that I have written down is Marcel in the back smoking in front of all the film and the screen. It was like almost black and white, but not.
Gorgeous. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Honestly, when that happened, I was like, slay. Yes.
Yeah.
Slay.
Yes. Like when I say burn it all down, this is what I mean.
Yes. Yes. It needs to be this gif.
We, oui, Shoshana.
Exactly.
Incredible. Love.
We, oui, Shoshana is right.
You know who I really enjoyed in this too? And who I thought just was generally like, wow, he's so hot in this, was Eli Roth.
Oh my God, same. I'm not even playing. I was like, who is this man?
I was like, yes, bitch, go get your vengeance. Also, wow, you look incredible. Like, congrats on you.
Like, was it like the strong brows or something? I don't know what it was.
Yeah, the strong brows, the like thick hair, like, I don't know. He just looks so big and strong. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You get your revenge. Yeah. You fucking get those bitches.
Slay. Literally.
Literal slay.
Go off. Work. I do have a note. Literally. Go to work.
He directed the film, A Nation's Pride or whatever. The film that they're showing, they had Eli Roth direct those fake scenes. Yeah.
Also, Daniel Brühl. Daniel Brühl is so good. Like, in general.
Yeah.
He's just such a phenomenal, like, he's another one that's he can speak fluent German and, like, fluent Spanish because he's, like, so many different ethnicities in one person. Like, he's really great. This movie, I don't remember him in this movie, and I was like, he clearly sucks, but I feel like he was worse this time around when I watched it. I don't know. I hated him a lot more this time around.
He was so awful. Like, I didn't think he could get any worse, and then he got fucking worse.
Yeah. I was like, oh, here it is. The violence. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Every single thing he did, I was like, you're a piece of shit. Okay, you're a huge piece of shit. Oh my God, you're the worst fucking piece of shit I ever met in my life.
And like, when she's like, close the door, I was like, oh no, don't do it, girl. So I know what you're trying to do, but like, don't do it. And then she shot him. I was like, yes!
I was just like, what? I know he's a white German man, but like, what is going through your head being like, this girl's gonna fall in love with me because I did all this shit for her, but she's watching a movie where I killed all of her countrymen. Like, she's delusional. Gonna love me.
Men are delusional.
What the fuck?
Men are delusional.
Like, oh, I can't watch my movie. I'm embarrassed. Ugh. What?
Fake shy bitch. Girl. Fake modesty. Get out of here. Get out. Oh my God.
And also, like, it's part of, like, because she's kind of disgusted by him, it's the challenge he wants to win over.
Uh-huh. Back him. Trash.
Which is fucking because trash. Everyone loves him. Yeah.
Throw the whole man away. Throw him away.
The whole man.
Yeah.
All of it. I mean, if we need to chop him up, whatever, sure. Have Eli Roth go at him, but I'll watch that.
I understand, like, narratively why Shoshana died. But if she lived, it would have been okay, too.
I knew going into this, I'm like, I shouldn't expect anything positive or happy to happen at all. But I was like, fuck, I really wanted her to live. I really wanted her to, like, get away with this. And, like,
I don't think it was ever their intention to escape.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
No, but like, I just wanted it to happen.
Yeah, same.
I was just, like, being like stupidly optimistic. I was like, she's gonna make it. They're gonna.
This reminds me of when I watched Defy Bloods, Spike Lee's Defy Bloods, and I was like, I think my Letterboxd review is not me watching a Spike Lee joint thinking they're gonna get all happy endings. Duh. If they're not going to, it's not. That's that kind of movie. But I think what saves it is the way Hans is treated at the end. he gets his revenge, or they get their revenge on him, and it's like us as the audience, like, okay, fine.
Although
Sean is dead, I hate it, but at least this guy got.
At least there's that one concession.
Yeah.
That final scene, I did feel a little gypped. Like, this man was so smart and so cunning and so ahead of the game. Like, he was 3 steps ahead of everyone. And then he was like, okay, now you can put us in handcuffs and we're going to come with you to America and everything's going to be fine. They're like, are you fucking stupid?
Again, delusional. They are delusional.
It's to that point where, like, men think they're so, like, good and perfect at everything that, of course, like, nothing's going to happen to them. Of course they're untouchable. Like,
but it just felt like a bit of a character assassination to me. Like,
that's fair.
For it to have happened so easily, you know?
Yeah. I
think because they kind of, well, they don't justify it, but they kind of say, like, because he says, like, you know, I'm just, this is my job. I just happen to work for, you know, Hitler. Whatever. It's,
oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not saying, like, I'm a Nazi or I'm a whatever. He's just like, this is my job and I just happen to work for this guy. So that's why his switch later feels not as abrupt because he's explaining like, I'll just go whoever. It'll matter. Like who can keep me alive or whatever the hell he says.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree because he was so smart and cunning.
Up until then.
He should have had a more smart and cunning death.
Mm-hmm.
I'll agree with that.
Also, the fact that he cared about the dude with him felt wild to me.
Yeah, I was like, you don't even know his name.
Like, who haven't cared about anybody this entire film except for yourself? And then now you're freaking out that this guy you arranged for his asylum or whatever is dead? Like, that just felt very weird to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great scene. And it was a great moment. But it also felt like it didn't belong in a way.
Right.
Ish. That's what I think. Don't all talk at once.
Dre, are you trying to read something? Your eyes like squinted really big.
I was like trying to find something, but I couldn't find it. Oh, one more thing. I do like that it actually had opening credits, like older films. I want more movies with opening credits. I want, like, a cute, like, theme song and, like, creative credits. Like, let designers design something cool, like a cool font for the names, whatever. Let creative people be creative and just let them do the thing.
Like, even the credits to an education were interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to look at my notes. Oh, I said, oh, random voiceover. Nice to hear you, Samuel L. Jackson.
Right?
I was like, uh-oh, okay. Hi, I guess.
Although he didn't sound like very Samuel L. Jackson, you know? Like, I felt like he put on a narrator voice. And it was just a little bit, like, different.
Oh, another note. That strudel does look really good.
You know what looked really good? The whipped cream. It looked fresh.
The way that was shot, I was like, what is this, Food Network? That's gorgeous. Wow. When they're eating, I was like, yeah. Some of that with some coffee? Mm-hmm. The Hans is awful, but he knows how
to... With the espresso?
How to pair espresso and a strudel. Yeah, get out of here. Oh, I am so proud of her for holding it together that entire conversation.
Right?
That was so scary.
I'm so proud of her.
That was like...
But also that moment afterwards was...
Yes. And I love the detail of her, like, looking back to make sure he's gone so she can fully, like, let her shoulders drop and just, like, cry. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I was trying to find a way to phrase this. But there's a conversation to be had about how this movie is a lot in another language, yet it's considered an American film because of Quentin Tarantino. And I don't think I have, like, the words... or the comparison really to have that conversation properly. But I just think it's interesting because there's English spoken in it, but I feel like if this was maybe directed by a person of color or someone who doesn't speak English as their first language, it would be considered a foreign film. But whatever. Anyways, that's just
100%. I know somebody has written that essay or done that video essay and been able to eloquently convey that.
Unlike me.
but yeah, no. It's the double standard, you know. We see it all the time, and unfortunately, it hasn't really gone away since 2009. So we'll see. It's to be seen, to be continued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're right.
Do we have any last notes before categories? Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
That's gorgeous. Sorry, that was my thinking music. I don't know. I don't think I have anything else.
Okay. So we'll just go into categories. Are we cool with that?
Oh, yeah. That's
okay.
Right.
So
let's do it.
Best picture. What do we think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
For all the reasons that we just played. Yes, yes, yes. Best director, Quentin Tarantino. What do we think?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he went off for sure. It's not without its, like we said, its qualms, but it's definitely my favorite of what I've seen from him, for sure.
Same.
Best supporting actor, Christoph Waltz won. He beat Matt Damon for Invictus, Woody Harrelson for The Messenger, Christopher Plummer for The Last Station, and Stanley Tucci for The Lovely Bones.
Yes.
I've not seen any of the other ones.
I've not seen The Lovely Bones.
Was Stanley Tucci good in that?
I mean, I think Stanley Tucci is great in everything he does.
Fair.
From what I remember, yeah, it was a great performance. But I feel like this tops it.
Yeah, I think because we talked about this like before, but Christoph Waltz is such a scene chewer.
Uh-huh.
That it's just like, you want to watch him all day. Like, it's almost you forget that he's a bad guy. So he approaches it in a nice guy way, and I think that's, again, really smart character choice, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's a testament to him because that's more than just the writing. Like,
yeah,
another actor could have picked up this writing and not had as much, like, sly viciousness as he did, and it would have been less convincing.
This movie almost didn't get made because they couldn't find someone to play Hans.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, they did a big search. And the thing that makes me roll my eyes about it is Quentin Tarantino was like, I think I wrote an unplayable character, which, like, fuck you. And even...
Bitch, he's not that good.
Even Michael Fassbender had asked, like, when he was auditioning, he inquired about the role. And Tarantino told him, if you were cast, you were just cast as Heathcliff, you're not German enough to be cast as Hans.
Isn't he literally German?
Okay, you know what? Anyways, Chris, that was stupid. He's stupid. Even though I like his
movie,
it's not
like he's like an actor and he can play different characters.
Oh, but he's an actor. He was in Django Unchained, remember?
He was also in this film.
He was? What was he?
Two places. It was a lookalike of him that was the first head scalped.
I didn't see that, so that's probably.
I didn't watch that either.
I closed my eyes.
And he was an extra, or he said something in another scene, and I don't remember.
Ooh.
Boo, bitch, boo.
I had a thought and I lost me. Christoph Waltz. He was great. Oh, someone who's that, like in real life, someone who's that charismatic is actually even more scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you think about it.
Yeah. Because again, the culty thing.
Hello. Yeah. So I think his choice to play it that charismatic was smart. Okay, best original screenplay. What do we think?
Yes.
Yeah,
I agree. It was good. Sorry. Best sound editing.
I mean, there was a lot of boom boom in there, so.
I don't know. I'm going to say.
There was.
Yes.
There was one scene, and I'm a little mad I didn't write it down, where I felt like the music was overpowering the dialogue that was trying to be said.
Okay.
I felt like it was too loud and I couldn't hear it, or it was like too much and I couldn't. I just remember having that feeling of, oh, that music needed to be like.
Mm-hmm. Like a dial or two down. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't win, so whatever, but okay.
So I don't know if that's mixing or editing.
Oh. See, again, we are so bad. Probably, we've been doing this for how long? We still don't know. I'm so sorry, sound people.
Because also, like, that's sound mixing, isn't it?
I'm gonna find us like a YouTube series or yeah, something.
Yeah, we need to watch it out of respect, truly.
A documentary, something.
I love documentaries about movies. So yes, also sound mixing. It didn't win, but it was nominated. Now, best cinematography. It didn't win. Avatar did. How do you think it compares?
I mean, I think, the one thing Avatar has going for it is the cinematography, the visuals. I say it is technically more of an achievement with Avatar versus with this.
I think these shots in this movie are more memorable to me personally.
My hang up between the two would be like Avatar, a lot of it is computer generated, like
screen so much of it was,
yeah, so much of it was CGI and like obviously that is an art as well, but this was, you know, actual outside.
The use of natural light and, you know, the sun and, you know, the grass and all shadows. I think had Avatar not been nominated, it could have won. Wait, hold on. What's else nominated? Let me see. It also nominated Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, The Hurt Locker,
which
and
was
the
White, beautifully shot.
White Ribbon. Avatar was just such an achievement technology-wise that is hard to shake, honestly.
Yeah.
But although go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think it belongs here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I do think there's something to be said with, like, even though it is like 99% visual effects, you still have to like plan out your shots and like, true, you know, you, yeah, there's still a certain like process to doing that. And I think it's kind of hard to compare because it's so different, but I think that there's still like a lot to say for cinematography, even in a visual effects kind of film.
Yeah, I guess it's like it's just as much work as the other. There's different ways to go about it. Yeah, I mean, okay, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I do like, there are shots that I like in this. I just wish he would have done a little bit more, which is so funny because like this movie is so much, and yet I still wanted a little bit more on certain things.
Yeah. What about film editing? What do we think?
Yeah, I felt like there was a lot of good, like we were talking about the shots with the translator, the first scene with the Inglorious Bastards. I liked the editing.
It's up against,
yeah, it was good.
Of the ones you've seen, Avatar and District 9, how does this one compare to those?
I still feel like District 9 is stronger because it used it more in the story purposes.
Yeah, the whole news reels and all of that.
Yeah, I feel like that was more part of the storytelling, which is, this was part, a good component of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like the most, like the standout thing in the film.
Right. I tend to agree with you. Yeah. So yeah, what are our rankings? Do we have our rankings?
I do. Okay, starting at number 5, we have The Blind Side, followed by Avatar, and then District 9, and number 2 I have in Education, and number 1 I have in Glorious Bastards.
Oh,
okay.
Subject to change, yeah. But after I watched this movie, I was like, I enjoyed that so much more than I thought I would, and I have to honor that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
True to you. I'll go next. So for me, 5 is The Blind Side, 4 Avatar, 3 in Education, two Inglourious Basterds and one is District 9. And I think had Inglourious Basterds not been so violent, because not my taste, it would have been number one. Because it's an excellent film. I just, it's not like one I want to watch over and over again because I don't want to see that. I just don't. But yeah, District 9 is my number one right now.
Hey. All right, at number five, I have The Blind Side. Four is Avatar. Three is Inglourious Basterds. Two in Education. And one, District 9.
Yeah. Look at that. We did a podcast, everybody. We did it.
Yay. We're so successful.
Took us a while, but we did it.
I mean, we're doing it.
We are doing it. You're right. Proud of us. Proud of you.
Proud of you.
Thanks. So thanks for listening, everybody. Stay tuned for the rest of the, 2010 Oscars? What we think, what we like, what we don't. What is it? Like, subscribe, listen to us, tell a friend.
Follow, DM.
Play it on your speaker in your car and blast it in the stoplight so we can be like, what is that? We have thoughts, you know?
I know that music.
or do it like I did when you stay at Airbnb, log into the computer, I mean the TV, and subscribe to We Have Thoughts on that TV. So therefore you can have
subscribers. That's hilarious. I love you.
That is so fucking smart.
I don't.
When you and I went to the crayon exhibit, we wrote our handle everywhere.
Oh, did. They probably threw it away, but that's fine, whatever.
Didn't we do that also on the, like, the notebook at the beginning of the trail on the mountain where we almost died?
and then we also did it, I think, at one of the art installation things we went to.
Oh, yeah.
Where we could write on the tree.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Oh, my God.
Writing the word, everybody. Yeah.
It's out there.
That's wild.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Motherfucker.